We now turn to the New Testament, to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, commencing our reading at the verse 1. Again, this is the word of the living God. The Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His word. The Lord grant His precious gift of faith this evening. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you, when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with me, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless that public reading of His most holy, infallible, inerrant and sacred word, all to the glory of His name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls here this evening. How we need the Lord's blessing. Well, dear congregation, I ask you to please turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read in the second reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I take for my text this evening the verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. 1 Corinthians 16, the verse 22. This is a most solemn verse of God's word. We thought this morning of God's love, God's eternal love. Paul is writing here to Corinthian believers. There are many in the churches who would profess a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be in our midst here this evening unbelieving souls, unconverted souls. There's a word for you here as well. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. This evening I want to focus our attention upon this most solemn verse. It is a most solemn verse because a very solemn curse is pronounced upon the person that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, let me say by way of introduction here this evening, what I'm going to say is obvious. It ought to be obvious. I'm going to state the obvious, which I trust you will see is necessary, but it's easily forgotten. The Apostle Paul is writing here by the Holy Spirit. This is not simply Paul's thought that is before us. We read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God spake as He gave holy men His words to write. We are reminded not to add anything to God's word. Paul is called to be an apostle, as we thought this morning, by the grace of God. And what Paul has to say here is by the Spirit. These are not his own words. This is not a curse from Paul. This is true. And those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, I can assure you, will be eternally cursed. This is a strong, this is a severe, unswerving statement. There's nothing ambiguous in this statement. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And secondly, I want you to notice that after the introduction in this epistle, you think of this epistle, those of us who are Christians here tonight, we know that there was a big problem at the church of Corinth, and that is there were various factions at the church. After the introductory remarks and the greeting, as you look at the beginning of this epistle, Paul greets them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He announces who he is by the grace of God, how he's been called to this work. After all those things, and his apostleship and the office which the Lord has called him to, he begins with people. He begins by saying how there are factions in the church. He is thankful that he has not baptized everyone, because there were some who were saying they were of Paul, some were saying they were of Apollos, some were saying they were of Cephas or Peter. And then he says, but is Christ divided? So he begins with people, and he ends the epistle with a person, the divine person. He begins with sinners, as it were, but he ends with the sinless Son of God. That's quite remarkable. We are to take no pride in men and preachers. We're to have no confidence in men. But here is the one we are to have all confidence in, the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Why? Because he is God. Let me repeat that. Christ is God. God was manifest in the flesh. He is the eternal Son of God who does not change. He is the eternal one who is pure, one whose life we can look to that was perfect, one who is the Ancient of Days, one who spans eternity, one, if we say we're saved, we have been called into union with him. And if truly we are in union with him who is God, we are to love him. It's the first table of the law, isn't it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. That's the first table of the law. So if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And we're going to look, the Lord willing, at some of these words here this evening and ponder these things as I also seek to try to address the lost as well as the saved this evening. This very person, the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say, one's eternity is determined whether we know and love Christ. By that very fact, our relationship with Him. Do we realize this evening how important it is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Three things I want us to see this evening with the Lord's help. First of all, the sin. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the curse. Let him be anathema. And then thirdly, the coming of the Lord. Maranatha. That's really what that word means. Or come, even come Lord. So let's think of this sin. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now, if this verse is properly understood, it should come as no surprise, especially to the Christian here this evening, the true Christian, why God says this. What is it to be a curse? That is really to be lost and to know God's everlasting judgment. It is to be accursed forever. This is why it's such an unrefutable curse. It's a solemn curse. It's a solemn pronouncement. Let me just turn you. This is not the only time the Apostle Paul uses the word accursed here. In Galatians 1, you remember how the Galatian church had somewhat been deceived by false teachers. Many of them were saying, well, you need to fulfill the law in order to have a justification before God. You need to also be circumcised. And it's the keeping of the law by which a man will be justified before God. Well, that is to completely obliterate the work of the gospel, to completely obliterate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, through His finished work. In Galatians 1 verse 6, we read, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And again, he repeats it, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel, any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In other words, there's no other hope for that man who will preach it and people who will believe it. People are accursed to believe a false gospel. It is Christ that saves, not our works. Of course, as we thought this morning, being a Christian does not mean that you abrogate the law of God. We now delight in it. God has written His law upon our hearts. It's all part of the new covenant of Jeremiah 31. I shall write my laws upon their hearts. And they in that same covenant, each and every one, you cannot be in that covenant unless you know the Lord. That's what Jeremiah 31 teaches. From the least of them to the greatest of them, from the youngest to the oldest, each one shall know the Lord. You cannot, it's simply impossible to be in that covenant. And Paul reiterates this in the epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10. To be a Christian and to be in this covenant is to be a changed person with a new heart, with God's laws written upon your heart. And you can say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, I delight in the inward man after the law of God. There were those that were accursed. And there are those that are accursed today because they believe another gospel. Now he says here, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, Love is the moral essence and the directive of the law of God, isn't it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. Now, why is it a curse to not love the Lord? Well, I said earlier that Christ is God. He is God, and he is worthy of our highest honor and praise. For he made the heavens and the earth. He is very God, begotten, not created. And he is to be worshipped, he is to be honored, and he is to be believed upon, because he is very God. Wouldn't we say if a man does not love God, he should be accursed? Does he expect to go to heaven if he has no time for the things of God? Yet it does marvel us that people upon the streets have the audacity and temerity to speak about heaven and being with God, and they've never darkened the door of a church or never opened a Bible and don't want to read it. It's staggering to hear the audacious claims of people today. God who gives all men life. We are told in the Word of God, all things were made by him and for him. Christ has made all things. He was the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. We are told by John, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him and through him and for him. Nothing that was made without him. And yet the Word became flesh. Why? To redeem sinners. And to not love him is a great evil. Something else. I believe that this verse separates the cults, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, who make him any less than God. It also separates the health, the wealth, churches, the charismatics who love their pleasures and who gather just for kicks, but not to love and to adore Christ. Many of them gather together because their preachers tell them they'll be wealthy and they'll be happy. They don't love Christ. They love this world. Now this word Maranatha, as I said, it means Lord, come. This is what Paul is exclaiming here. It's another thing Paul is actually saying here as well. It's perhaps not so obvious in the text. Those of us who are Christians, stay away from those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Lord Jesus Christ. That person is cursed. Distance yourself, as it were. Yes, you may have acquaintances, but these are not to be your close friends. And maybe you sat here tonight and you're an unsaved person, but you can tell the difference. You go from one church to another and you can tell the difference between true worshippers and false worshippers. There are some that are just there to entertain themselves, and they're there for emotional reasons. They just need God as a sort of crutch in their life. And they just need propping up, but they don't want God and they don't love the Lord. Paul loved the Lord Jesus, whether he was in bonds, whether he was being half killed to death. Many times he loved the Lord because he was a saved person, because God had had mercy on him. Now some people, even some professing Christians, say, well, lots of people love the Lord Jesus. You know, they say even the Muslims love the Lord Jesus. I mean, I have this often. I have Muslims coming up to me and Hindus in the open air preaching, and they say, we love the Lord Jesus. We think he's a wonderful prophet, and he has so many things to say But my friend, he is God. And he is to be worshipped and he is to be supreme in the life. And there are some who say, well, we love the Lord Jesus. We're just not so serious about the Bible as you are. And we love the little Lord Jesus in the cradle, in the manger. And they'll even have some sort of little figurine and some grotto. We love that Lord Jesus, or we love the Lord Jesus that will feed thousands of people and that will do good. We love that Lord Jesus. But my friends, you cannot separate the Lord Jesus from his words. You remember what he said in Luke 9:26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words." You do not separate the Lord Jesus, his miracles, from the words of truth that he preaches. And he said some very hard things, didn't he? He said, except a man deny himself, take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. He said, unless you pluck out and cut off, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. He said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh. And he was speaking of his sufferings and embracing all that he does for sinners. Except you believe that I am the Christ, you shall die in your sins. Many people will say they love the Lord Jesus, but they don't love his words. They love what he did. Many call themselves Christians, but you know the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned in prayer, said, when you've done all that you're meant to do, go and say you're unprofitable servants. People aren't happy with that. There are people that lived lives like Mother Teresa. And I'm not downplaying what she did or maybe some of the good that she did, but people take pride in their works, in their life, and somehow they think that these things will earn favor with God. Friends, if our unrighteousness, or rather, if our righteousnesses are as a filthy rags, what of our sins? We have nothing to commend ourselves before Christ. People have a phantom Christ. Something else, really, another way of looking at this verse could be this way. I think now Paul has come to the end, really, of this epistle to the Corinthians, and he's taught them much about Christ, hasn't he? It is this Lord Jesus, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ that I have been teaching you about, the Christ that I have preached. First of all, notice in 1 Corinthians 1:21, he is the crucified Christ. He was a substitute for his people. He says in verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." I don't know how many times I've had people, speaking a lot about the open air ministry, have come up to me and said, "Well, why don't you just speak about how God loves everyone and how good the Lord Jesus was, how he went about doing good and how he wants to save?" And I said, "Well, what about the cross? Why can't I preach about the cross and the reason for the cross?" "Well, that's not what people want to hear," they say. "Well, that's what people must hear, because this is the Christ who came into this world to suffer and to die and to bear infinite wrath, constricted in 3 lone hours in his own body, and to be forsaken of the Father." Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified." It's foolishness. It's foolishness to men like Steve Chalk, who call the idea of penal substitution something like cosmic child abuse. I mean, it troubles our ears to hear that, doesn't it? He is the Christ that would be crucified. Then you know such a man as Steve Chalk is under that curse, isn't he? Those who deny penal substitution. Think of the title. Paul here is dealing with this title. The Roman Catholic Church. They believe in Christ plus works. It's Christ, all or nothing, isn't it? Do you love and admire him for what he's done? That's the point. If any man love, adore him not, he's cursed. I mean, how can you not love him? I don't understand, humanly speaking, but I was blind. I did not want to see. I did not want to believe these things. I was in darkness. And I have to confess, there was a time I just viewed him as some great man. But I didn't love him. I'm sure many can testify to that. There are many things that Christ becomes for us. If you notice in 1 Corinthians 1:28, Paul says there are essentially four things that Christ must become for us. 1 Corinthians 1:28, he says, the base things of this world and things which are despised, God hath chosen. That's, you know, God has not chosen the wise people, but the humble, the poor. Well, he makes them poor in spirit. And things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him ye, he says, of Christians, ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom. That's why we love him, because he is our wisdom. When the Lord saves you, he opens up his word to your understanding. And you realize that everything Christ has to teach us is wisdom. It's sublime. The world looks like folly now. And you see the way people live and the way they think so short-termedly. And they like the troubled sea that has no rest. And it's sad to see, isn't it, people going from one thing to the next in life, not happy, and yet they still do not seek after God. That is the madness of the human heart. Solomon says, and while they live, madness is in their hearts. But when Christ is yours, is your wisdom. What else has he made to us? Righteousness. We love him because he now is our righteousness. He is the Lord Sikunu, the Lord our righteousness. When we realize we don't have a righteousness of our own, but we only have his righteousness to plead, do we not love him? Can we improve upon the righteousness of Christ? We never can. That's what the Jews and many people are seeking to try to do today, to work up a righteousness before God. But it is the free gift to all who believe upon Christ. And that's why we love him. That's what the gospel is saying. You have no righteousness of your own. Sinner, you're undone. You're helpless before a holy God. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. That is, he changes our lives despite how sinful and how unworthy we are. He never gives up on us. How many times God's people fall? He will sanctify his people. They are his. And what else, Paul? Redemption. the final redemption. Not only has He redeemed us from the curse of the law, because He became a curse for us, but He redeems us to a new life, and ultimately He will redeem us into glory and to take us to be with Him forever and forever. How can we not love Him? My unsaved friend, let me say, this is why we glory in nothing else but Jesus Christ. Because He is these things for us, and this is why we love Him. Because He is God that has come to do these things. And yet people are offended that Christ should be these things for a man. It's madness. But man doesn't have these things. What else? If you look at the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, He really is our resurrection. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he has been speaking, the whole chapter is about the resurrection. He begins by speaking of how the Apostle Paul, he has not preached in vain, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, verse 3, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and of the 12, and after that, above 500 brethren at once. This thing wasn't done in a corner. There's a resurrection is the central aspect. If Christ be not risen from the dead, well, we're most miserable. But because He lives, we will live. It's sad that so many of the Anglican clergy today deny the resurrection. So many, should we be surprised, so many of the Anglican clergy deny Genesis chapter 1 as literal in terms of a six-day creation. And then we're not surprised now, they deny the central message of the Bible, the resurrection. We not love Him. We love Him because He lived that life. Do you think, let me just put it to you this way, do you think that He would go to the cross and He would suffer? And in dying, if He thought He had 1 ounce of sin or 1 aspect of sin, He was prepared to put His own soul and to suffer death? And never to rise again? No. He knew that the grave could not hold Him. He knew, He said, the prince of the power of the air cometh and had nothing in me. No sin, no claim, no latent sin. There was nothing that could hold our Savior, our God. Well, we could look at it another way as we look at this verse. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let's look at the various titles that the apostle gives here. First of all, his Lord. I've emphasized that somewhat. But in this sense, let me bring it to you this way. He is absolutely sovereign. In that sense of Lord, Kyrios, He is the Lord of glory. He is the one who left the heights of glory. He is the Lord of lords. He's the only potentate, co-equal with the Father, co-eternal. And anyone who does not treat Him and love Him and live to Him as Lord is cursed. You could emphasize it that way, my friends. You see, being a Christian, and I'm not making it hard, I'm simply stating it as it is. He's Lord. He's not just Savior, but He's Lord. And He becomes Lord of the life. But He is the Lord Jesus. Yeshua. That is, God saves Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But he is also the Christ. It's amazing, isn't it, that God should be contracted to a span, be incomprehensibly made man, that he might save, that he should become the second or the last Adam. That should never cease to amaze us. I mean, how can our hearts not go out in love for him? He is greater than Joshua. Remember how Joshua brought the people into the land, and how they could say, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. But how much more does our heavenly Joshua bring us into the eternal heights of glory, heaven, to be in the company of angels forever and never to sin again, and above all to be like him. To be like him. I can't think of anything more wonderful than to be like my Savior, to never sin again. But he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed and the promised Messiah. And that really brings us back to the Father. Because of what the Father promised to do in the sending of the Christ, literally the anointed one who is the high priest and the king. That's why we read from the Psalm 110, after the order of Melchizedek, he who has the power of an endless life. He who the Father said to him after he finished his work, sit down now, my son, at my right hand, not in some far corner of the room, but take the place of honor. Sit down until I make thine enemies thy footstool. My friend, love is not a mental assent, is it? But our hearts surely go out in affection of these truths of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. I've set before you, it's a strange way, I suppose, of preaching the gospel tonight, but I brought to you Christ, who he is. But it shows, doesn't it, how sinful the human heart is. You tell me that man does not hate God? Go to Calvary. It doesn't take long to see it. It doesn't take long to see your wicked heart there, my wicked heart there. As people were crying out, crucify him. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The curse. What is the curse? It's a terrible thing to be cursed of God. Let me say, the curses of God are forever. And they will be. God speaks of everlasting fire. A lost eternity. And men deserve it. Because they hate the Creator God, the one that sustains them. And whether people hear the gospel or not, they still hate him. But would God melt hearts tonight to love the Lord Jesus? Is he not altogether lovely? Please come and tell me afterward that you don't think he's lovely. And I'd like to explain more about him. Because the Bible is full of Christ. It's full of his wonders. I also want you to speak to Christians. And I want you to ask them how good God has been to them. That's another way of finding out about Christ. We read it in the Song of Solomon. What is thy beloved more than another? Well, the bride will say, he is altogether lovely. He's my God. He's my friend. What a terrible curse to hate God. Not to love him after all that he's done in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ And then you notice, Maranatha. It's as if Paul cannot help but say, come, Lord. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. I want to warn you tonight, God is coming. He is coming. And the Scriptures say, for yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. Have you believed unto the saving of the soul? Ask God to break your heart, my friend, that you love Christ. Because, let me say, not for the sake of the curse, but for the sake of the blessing. There's no better thing than to love God. This is life. We are made for God and to enjoy Him. This is life eternal, to know His Son, to know peace with God, and there is blessings. We think of Job. I mean, look at Job. Job saw terrible trials. He lost 10 children in a day. He lost everything. Job was blessed before he lost, but he said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And through his trials, he was blessed. The Lord was his help. And even after the trials, we read that all he had, the Lord gave him. Again, on top of what he had. And then that afterlife, Job is now in glory. Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he lives. But he says, lo, I come quickly to give every man according to his works. This is the work of God. That you believe upon his Son and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, may God change hearts. May God have mercy. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee this evening. For our Lord Jesus Christ, how could we not love him? Oh Lord, we ask that thou might melt hearts to love him and to adore him. We thank thee for his word. We thank thee for his person and all that he is for us. He has said, yet a little while, he will come. Oh Lord, may we look to him and may we await that day when we shall see him and give thanks and enter into his glory. Oh Lord, we ask that thou would in mercy make sinners winning in the day of thy power. As they see, Lord, their sin, and as they see the dear Savior, how suitable and lovely he is. Oh Lord, we pray, bring glory to thy name. We thank thee that he is able to keep us from falling. And to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Father, now we ask, hear us at the benediction. Be with us, Lord, as the day closes. Grant to us, Lord, evening hours of peace and joy in peace in believing. May the unsaved get no rest until, Lord, they come and believe upon Christ and truly repent. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.